the Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 44. Praise and glory to God. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up to heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Alice is preaching for us today, which is very exciting. Woo-hoo! So may I pray for you, Alice?
Yes, great. Thanks.
Cool. Loving God, I'm so grateful for Alice's yes to this particular call to preach today. God, will your peace cover her as she brings your word to us? Loving God, will our hearts open so that we can hear more of you, learn something new and be transformed and changed. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Okay. It's cobwebs. Okay.
All right. Can you hear me okay? Yeah? Cool. All right. So, Ascension Sunday, which is today for all of you who may or may not have known him. So, I've been a Christian my whole life, but I never heard of the word ascension until my children started Catholic school. I think I just, in my church, we just talked about Jesus going up to heaven, or Jesus went to be with God. So, yeah, there was never a particular term. But we are learning the vocabulary of the Anglican Church, which is great for expanding your vocabulary. Yeah, that's cool. So, looking at, which one do I click? The big one?
Right hand side.
Yep. Cool. So, looking at these, over the years, many people have made art related to ascension. Which of these images do you think could be closer to what really happened? I particularly like the rocket Jesus. Yeah. I also like the little toes just peeking at the top of the picture. It's quite intriguing how people have explored this through art. But I guess, what were they thinking or feeling in that moment? What were those disciples? You can see, and
some they're not showing at all, and others they seem to be worshipping. Almost calling out. We have the angel appearing to them on the side on this one. This one looks, in the front, one person looks very sad, is on the floor. Other people...
Yeah, exactly. So overwhelmed. Going on to our readings for today, we kind of read them in my mind in the opposite order. So Dr. Luke, wrote both Luke and Acts, and he wrote them kind of as a duology, like a two-volume story. So it's kind of, but in the Bible, they're separated by the book of John. It's kind of plopped in between, which... I was wondering why. A friend said that possibly they ordered it that way because John is quite different style than the other three Gospels. So if they felt maybe the three belong together, then we'll put John and then we'll carry on with Acts. But yeah, I think it's quite a useful thing to read straight through Luke and then straight into Acts, is what we have done this morning. So Luke, he travelled with Paul. He probably came to know about Jesus through Paul. He was a Gentile and was very well educated. He wasn't there for the events that happened that he wrote about in Luke, in the book of Luke. But it said that he went round and he talked to many people, is what he says. So it's quite likely he spent a lot of time with Mary, the mother of Jesus, because those early chapters in Luke in particular, she would have been the only one who knew what happened. And you'll notice that Mary, mother of Jesus, features quite through it. And in fact, many women feature quite strongly in Luke. So yeah, I guess he was sort of like a doctor. He worked like a journalist to interview many people and gather their information. And he really emphasizes in his Gospels about salvation for those who believe, particularly those who are outsiders, you could call them, the poor, sinners, Samaritans, women, Gentiles, people who weren't Jews. So he... that comes through in his writing. And, for example, he notices particularly that the women were there in both of these accounts. So in the Luke account, it talks about Jesus ascending from Bethany. So what is this, which leads me to think, what is the significance of Bethany? So you'll see there's Bethany up there. It is around about 3 kilometres from Jerusalem. So if you're walking fast, you could probably get there in about half an hour or so. Bethany was the home of Mary, Martha and Lazarus, who were very dear friends of Jesus. And Lazarus was raised from the dead in Bethany. Jesus went out from Bethany to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It kind of makes sense that Jerusalem would have been so full of people in the lead up to the Passover. They thought, well, I'll just stay out of town with my friends in Bethany and we'll just walk in the morning. So he came from Bethany to Jerusalem for Palm Sunday, but then he took his disciples out of Jerusalem to Bethany when he decided to leave them to ascend. And then the disciples went out from Bethany to Jerusalem to wait for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came on them, it told them to go out from Jerusalem. So it was lots of going in and out. Bethany was on, you could say, on the edge or the margins of Jerusalem. And there's some who say that the people who lived in Bethany were the people who were on the margins. Maybe the poorer people lived there. And it's quite interesting. We don't really know why Mary... It was quite unusual for two sisters and a brother to live together in their family, Mary, Martha and Lazarus. We don't know what the story, why particular it is. It could be because they had some kind of disease that excluded them from other people. They could be, I guess the sisters could have been widows. It's hard to know, really. But they obviously were not wealthy people or were not high-profile people. They were living out in Bethany. So Bethany, we see, is a place of new life and resurrection. And it was a very special place for Jesus. I think he felt at home there. And it was a nice, easy commute to Jerusalem. So, after Jesus' resurrection, after they saw Jesus, he came and he appeared to them after the 3 days. There was lots of different reactions from the disciples. They were afraid, they doubted, they were joyful. They were still wondering, is he going to become our earthly king? They were unsure about their mission, and they were unsuccessfully fishing in Galilee. They'd gone off fishing. What are we going to do? Let's go fishing. So, which I thought was interesting, because they've just seen Jesus come alive again, but they seem to be all in a bit of a hot mess, really, after this. So what changed and that time when Jesus left and before the Holy Spirit came. Because when Jesus ascended, the disciples were filled with great joy. They went to the temple. They were worshipping God. They were united in prayer. So something seemed to change when Jesus actually left them. What was it? What was it that changed? Interesting, Luke was the only one that describes Jesus being taken up into the cloud, or even that he actually left, apart from the extra ending on Mark that may or may not be drawn from Luke. I think just we have to pause there on the fact of the cloud, that he went into a cloud. I don't think Jesus whizzed off into outer space somewhere. I think the cloud was talking about the symbol of the, it's a real symbol of the presence and glory of God. So you remember in Exodus 40, the people in the, of Israel, they followed the cloud by day. They followed God's presence. When in 2 Chronicles 5, when the temple was finished under Solomon, a cloud came down and sat on the temple, the cloud being the presence of God. And when Ezekiel had his vision about the people going into exile, it talked about the cloud being lifted because of the worshipping of the idols in the temple of God. So of God's presence being lifted. And so, so it was very symbolic that Jesus was being taken into the glory and presence of God in that moment. But what changed for the disciples when he went up? What was the change that changed them from being unsure and unfocused to knowing, to being filled with joy and worshipping day and night? So I suggest four things. One, Jesus gave his followers a purpose and a mission. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age, of the age." So now they had a mission, they had a purpose, they had a focus. They knew what their next steps were. Second, in Luke 24, he said, "When I was with you before, I told you everything that was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." So he said, you know, when I spent those 3 years in you, I told you this. But then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So there was a new openness that he gave them, a new understanding that they were able to have now that he had come back, been risen from the dead. So in that 40 days before he ascended, he opened their minds to understand a whole lot of scriptures. And, you know, today we can still ask Jesus to open our minds to understand the Bible. The third thing was they had the promise of the Holy Spirit so that they could be his witnesses in Jerusalem throughout. So from where they were, go from Bethany back to Jerusalem, then throughout Judea, which is like the southern Israel, into Samaria, the nearing next place, and then to the ends of the world, which I always feel relates to New Zealand, being at the end of the world from Israel. But that they wouldn't go alone. They had the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think the fourth point is that it's about community. While he was here, Jesus built a community from quite a strange mix of individuals with a background like a small business owning fisherman, so kind of middle class fisherman, colluding Jewish tax collector, a violent political extremist, Simon the Zealot, demon-filled woman, wife of Herod's household manager, so quite a privileged woman, a woman of independent wealth, and his mum. So, and he spent that time building the community, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to fill them as a community and to send them out as a community. Where it says, then Jesus led them to Bethany, lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. So Jesus left a diverse, faithful community, empowered with the Holy Spirit, to take out his message. So he had already spent the time teaching them what to do. While he was there, he had sent them out in pairs on mission. They'd watched him, they had done the ministry with him, and now he filled them with the Holy Spirit. So, what can our community learn from this story? I think the first one is having our hearts open to the Word. We can ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the Bible. It's interesting, Bible Society did a survey some years ago, and asking people why they didn't read the Bible. And they found one of the number one reasons is people said, I don't read it because I don't understand it. And so, I think the Holy Spirit can help us to understand it. And I think there's also a lot of great tools out there, different Bible reading guides, reading Bible in community in small groups, reading it in church. There are lots of things that can help us to understand it, and it's good to share those with each other to say, "Yeah, I'm reading this, and this is really helping me," or "I'm listening to this podcast, and it's really helping me understand it." So it's good to share those with each other. And the next point is, we all have a place in the team. So Jesus had the wealthy and the poor. He had the educated and the not so educated. He had men, he had women, he had people from every kind of cultural and ethnic background. They all had a place in his team. Whether they had been had a background full of lots of advantages and done lots of good things, or ones who had come from a very traumatic past. You know, we're all different, and we're all needed. So the last question is, what does it look like to be on mission with Jesus as a community? So I'm going to just leave that question there for us to reflect on.